Do you remember this commercial that ran as a public service announcement on TV for about 10 years?
Okay, last time. This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
That was the fried egg commercial that the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy ran for quite a few years. It was followed up in the 90s with another one with an actress named Rachel Lee Cook holding a frying pan. She puts the egg on the counter and she says, okay, let me show you this. This is your brain, and she holds up the frying pan, and she says, this is heroin, and she smashes the egg. And then she goes on to smash up the dishes and everything else in the kitchen. I'm never quite sure what that was supposed to symbolize, and I always wondered, were these effective at all? Well, here to talk about that is Keith Humphreys, who is a professor at Stanford University's School of Medicine, who once advised the White House Commission on Drug-Free Communities. Keith, welcome to KTRS.
Glad to be here.
Were these commercials effective in keeping people, particularly kids, off of drugs?
No, they were not. Sadly enough, despite billions of dollars spent from the 80s up through the 90s, every evaluation that was done showed that they had no effect at all on kids' intention to use drugs, except some kids actually said they made them want to smoke marijuana more than they had before they'd seen the ad. So it was really a catastrophic failure.
Wow. So yeah, I guess a failure would be it didn't work. A catastrophic failure would be it did exactly the opposite of what you intended.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, if you think of those ads, you know, they really are like your mom or your dad shaking your finger at you and saying, this is bad, don't do it. You know, and if a certain kind of kid, that's a red flag in the face. You know, if this is how I can rebel and show that I'm independent, then I'll do it. And it seems at least some kids saw those ads as, you know, a license to use drugs rather than to stay away from them.
Considering that we're talking about drugs that were and still are illegal in most of the country, marijuana has been legalized as recreational for recreational use and as well as medical use in several states now. Considering that most of the other drugs are illegal and that most of this use of these drugs is done in private, how do we actually know whether it had an effect or not?
Well, it's always hard to measure substance use, legal or illegal. I mean, you know, if you add up all the Americans' reports of how much they drink, it only seems to come up to about half as much alcohol as sold. So either Americans are watering their gardens with a lot of good booze or they lie yeah. When they talk about their substance use. So there is that problem always of people understating. But there's lots of ways you can get around that. I mean, there's partly through surveys. You can do anonymous surveys over the computer. Also, certain things you find out from who shows up in treatment or who shows up in jail, and you can, you know, do urine tests on them and see what they've been using. But it always is a challenge.
Why do you think those ads didn't work?
Well, you know, part of it was that, you know, at the time Congress was getting all this money and, you know, the people making the ads needed to impress Congress. And the ads you're describing with the eggs, which looked pretty silly to me, I remember watching one of them being rolled out in front of a bunch of congressmen and they all jumped up and applauded. You know, and the thing is what appeals to the typical congressperson who's, you know, probably, you know, a person in their 60s who wears a suit to work is not going to appeal to the average teenager. I mean, in fact, just the opposite.
Right.
So they say this is the straightforward message our kids need. And what their kids are thinking is, boy, this is really lame, uncool, and they're telling me what to do. And I don't like that.
How far along were these campaigns before people did a study or multiple studies that showed that they didn't work?
They'd been underway for about a decade before good research started to come out. And by the way, it wasn't just in the United States. Lots of countries have done these kinds of campaigns and done evaluations on them throughout. And as I said, mostly disappointing. The one exception to that is tobacco campaigns, which were different and really kind of took the point of view that the tobacco industry was run by, you know, middle-aged people who were trying to treat you like a sap and make you a smoker. And the way to rebel, the way to show you were a free, intelligent teenager, was to not smoke. And that campaign, called the Truth Campaign, actually seems to have worked in a way the drug ads didn't work.
Now, that sounds to me like you had ad people who understood the target audience.
that's the trick. I mean, you know, you can't make ads to change kids' behavior while you're trying to please, you know, people in Washington who are not your target audience. And you know, campaigns finally figured out, like, look, you know, we're trying to motivate teenagers. We got to talk to teens, and we can't just talk among ourselves. And tobacco did that. And I have to say, some of the later anti-drug ads that were done above the influence was a campaign that was we're smarter that way, and sort of were much more respectful to kids, and also honored the reality that teenagers, you know, like to have their autonomy. They like to have freedom.
You know, I watched a couple of those today, and in one of them, there's a dog talking to a teenage girl, telling her to stop smoking so much pot. And in another one, there's a dad yelling at his son after the son has crashed the car. And in both cases, I thought to myself, A, marijuana doesn't make you think your dog is talking to you. That's other drugs that would do that. And B, a dad yelling at a son in a commercial, how effective is that going to be to reach young people?
Yeah, I mean, you also think, who are you trying to move? I mean, you know, the kind of kid who is very rule-bound and sort of does the right thing, so to speak, behaves self-well, that's not who you're trying to change. Because, you know, parents in this country aren't saying to kids, use drugs. They're saying, don't use drugs.
Yeah.
So that message is out there. So you're really trying to move the kind of kid who says, I've heard that, and I want to be different, or I don't like being told what to do. And so just repeating that ad again, that same message that failed before, isn't going to work.
Yeah.
Instead, you want ads that say, hey, you know, here are some cool people you admire who don't do drugs. If you use drugs, you end up with problems that you care about, not your parents care about. Like, you'll screw up your relationship with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, or you'll end up being couch locked and not be able to play sports, and you really want to play sports. It's basically getting in the head of the person you're trying to influence, which is the key to successful advertising.
You're saying that that is more effective than Nancy Reagan in a red dress with Mr. T on her lap telling kids, just say no?
Yeah, as shocking as it may seem, science has indeed scrolled this fact out.
Yeah. Do TV stations even run PSAs anymore? Because that's what this is. Or did the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy buy this time?
Well, they had it for a long time. They had an arrangement where there was a campaign paid for by Congress through the White House, but also lots of stations donated time in support of this, sort of to support the effort. But you know, most of the federal funding has dried up, so there's still some ads that are put on sometimes by nonprofits, but it's way less common than it used to be. And I have to say, you know, given that these campaigns have usually not worked, I don't miss them. I think there's smarter things we can do to respond to our nation's drug problems.
I've been in broadcasting long enough to know that there was at one point a federal mandate that you had to run a certain amount of public service announcements, both on radio and television. But I've been doing this for a long time. I don't think we run any public service announcements on this station or any other I've heard. And I've never seen them on TV in recent years. In fact, I had to go to YouTube to find them. And I don't think kids are going to purposely search YouTube now for anti-drug commercials.
Of course not. And what they will be exposed to, I mean, we have to be realistic about the other side to this, is there is a huge number of commercials kids do see promoting substance use. I mean, there are beer ads, wine ads, tobacco ads. Now there's, at least where I live, California, there's cannabis ads. There's pharmaceutical ads. Ask your doctor about this and that.
Yeah.
So there's so much programming on the other side. In some ways, it's sort of odd that we thought that a little bit of ads giving the opposite view would have an impact.
It's funny you mentioned that ask your doctor about, because now all I'm thinking is that we're promoting pill use.
Well, I think that's true. I mean, you know, that is a difference a lot of Americans don't realize, is most countries don't let pharmaceutical companies advertise on TV. So, you know, when Europeans come here, they're always shocked, particularly like the evening news and shows that a lot of older people watch, how every ad is, you know, ask your doctor about this or that. And that is those are not illegal drugs, but it is kind of a meta message, you know, for every problem, there is a pill and you should ask for it. And that's a pro-consumption message that's going to swamp any sort of anti-consumption messages that a small ad campaign
I
does.
Think that is a major point here, Keith. You're absolutely right. These kids who may be consuming television, although fewer and fewer of them are, they're now doing on-demand stuff, so they wouldn't see any of these messages. But even if they're in the room during an NFL game when it's on TV and we're not skipping through the commercials, they're going to see a lot of those ask your doctor about ads, and they're going to get that message exactly as you say. Pills are good, so let's go out and get something to make me feel better.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the other place they see them is on their phone. I mean, there are advertisers that become extremely skilled at targeting people. So, you know, when you search online, maybe a kid is curious about drugs and, you know, puts in a Google search, that then gets stored, and then maybe that kid sees an ad. It's the other part of this is that TV is, in a sense, kind of an old way to think. I mean, the idea that we're going to change things when, as you say, kids are really tuned into different kinds of media where this was advertising is super targeted and extremely clever.
Yeah. You know what? We should get the Russians to do this for us. I have to ask you a final question about the White House Commission on Drug-Free Communities. I mentioned in the introduction, you've advised several government bodies, including that one. I'm curious, what are those meetings like?
Well, actually, that was a very good program. That's not television. What that is community coalitions that exist around the country that are funded by the government, where you bring parents, teachers, kids, faith leaders, business leaders together to work in the community to try to create an environment where kids are not exposed to tobacco, alcohol, and drugs. And that kind of prevention is much more effective. I mean, where you're essentially engaging people as people, rallying resources around them, strengthening families, and you know, giving people, kids, other fun things to do besides using drugs. And that's hard work. And, you know, slapping an ad on TV is, you know, too simple, and it's not going to work. But engaging communities, engaging each other, engaging families is what we need to do.
Engagement and communication? That's crazy talk, Keith.
There you go. See what we learned from science.
Professor Keith Humphreys from the Stanford University School of Medicine. Thank you so much for joining me here today.
Thank you. Great to talk to you.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.